Many years ago, I got my MFA in directing. And the reason I got my advanced degree in directing, because at that point in my young life, I had worked with so many directors that I watched and went, well, hell, I can do that. If I had met Jessica Thebus back then, I never would have bothered getting my own MFA, because Jessica Thebus is exactly the director I would like to be when I grow up. She's funny, she's serious, she handles seriousness and vaudeville with equal aplomb, and she's awesome, and I have a crush, and she's sitting right here. Thank you, Jessica, for talking to me.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. Now I'm blushing so pink I can barely speak.
You're matching your sweater.
I am.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 391, The Director's Job. Jessica Thebus has directed all over the United States at such theaters as the Huntington Theater in Boston, the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., Kansas City Rep, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon, and all over Chicago at Steppenwolf, the Goodman Writers Theater, and Looking Glass Theater, where in this winter and spring of 2014, I had and am having the great pleasure and privilege of working with her in her production of Sarah Gamitter's world premiere of In the Garden, A Darwinian Love Story. I just admire her work so much, and I was able to persuade her to sit down and talk with me about exactly what it is that a director does. What I wanted to talk to you about was the job of the director, because I don't think people really know what it is. What are some of your favorite critical brickbats when they say, Jessica Thebus really kept the action moving, when they describe the director's job and they don't know what to say?
Oh my gosh, yes. Well, this happens all the time. I mean, every director feels... Actually, every person probably has feelings about the way what they do is understood by the wider world, for sure, no matter what they're doing. But I think every director does, because actually, what we do is a kind of amorphous yet kind of very specific thing.
Yeah.
It's strangely, you're all over everything in a production, and at the same time, if you're really doing your job, you're also staying out of the way as much as you can.
Right.
So it's understandable that it's confusing. I say it is understandable that it's confusing. But, so often a director really feels like, you read over many years so much critical response that says, the actors were wonderful and the set was wonderful and the design was wonderful, the direction is weak. And you sort of feel like, well, what do you think was going on? How could we? Or the other way around.
Right.
Because actually I sort of feel like as a director, everything is my fault.
Yeah.
Something doesn't work, that thing is my fault.
I always feel like that when an actor doesn't get it. He's either miscast and it's not his fault, or I didn't direct him right and it's not his fault.
Human beings respond to story. We make story. We can't help it.
Yeah.
We are sleeping at night.
Yeah.
And I actually now have the great privilege to be a professor of directing, which there's nothing like that to help my own directing, because I think about and talk about and work with very wonderful students all the time. What is your job? What story are you telling? That's an interesting story, and so is that one, but they're not going to be in the same play.
Right.
What is it? What is it? What is it? And I force them to be way more articulate than anyone forces me to be.
Until this moment.
Yeah, quite unfairly. But it makes you really have to come in again and again and again on, what's that story? Because if you can get that, and if everyone's voice can be in concert, the designers and the directors and the actors together, then, then it is really something unique. Then it's something you don't see anywhere else. You don't experience it anywhere else. And that's why we're in love with the theater.
It's true. So do you see a director's job as creative or interpretive?
I do not see those two things as different. I will say that I am an interpreter. I know this about myself, and by that I mean I'm a responder. I am very good at responding to anything, but if I were only a creator, I would be a writer. And perhaps someday I will write something, but I just need a little bit of input, and then I can build on that. I don't think that's an opposite to being creative, because I think just for human beings, but also especially for artists, the interpretive fact, not necessarily the generation of all of the raw material.
Well, and also the vibe you create in the room allows us all to do the work to tell the same story that you want us to tell.
Well, this is a huge thing, because this is what I believe. I mean, I think the room is the primary soil out of which that creative process generates. And actors have an incredibly difficult job. They need to use all of their improvisational skill. They need to use their emotion. They need to use their pain, their humanness, and they need to figure out how to do it, pretending to be someone else, and then to do it night after night. I mean, it's almost bizarre. Like, if you described it to an alien, they would never believe it. Like, why would anybody do or be able to do that?
Now, you were also an actor as well at some point.
Let's not go that far.
Okay. Don't let.
My mother is an actor.
Okay.
And I grew up in an actor's house. My mother still acts now in Chicago. And she, you know, so I grew up watching that. I was a kid who ran around in the theater seats when I was 5 and 6 and 7. And, you know, when I was 6 years old, she took me to see The House of Bernarda Alba, where she beat her daughters. So I've watched the actor's process kind of from the inside. And, yes, I acted in high school and in college. You know, I really, when I discovered directing, I felt like it was the same thing, except you got to stand in the dark and not worry about what you were wearing. Yeah. And it seemed like paradise. And it's just a way better place for me to be. I do enjoy performing. Every now and then I still will. But I'm just not as good as an actor. I don't really have it, you know, and I think the people who really have it have something magical.
Yeah. But that exposure to an actor and acting must be help you be so supportive of the actor process.
Oh, I think so. Just because I think it's harder. Yeah. I mean, if it's not working for the actor, I'm screwing up some way.
Right.
You know, it's my job is to make it work for them.
Now, for some reason, the audio file of my interview got corrupted just as I was asking Jessica how she felt about playwrights directing the premieres of their own work. And longtime podcast listeners will know how I feel about this. In the first part of her answer, which inexplicably got erased from the audio file, she said the relationship between a playwright and director, when it's the right one, like the one she has with playwright Sarah Rule, can be extremely rewarding and productive. But then she went on to say...
But then again, I've read about Maria Irene Fornes directing her own work, and I sort of feel like, well, why not? You wrote it. If you want to direct it, you can direct it. I mean, I feel like I don't make the rules of how theater's best, and I think it can be different. And, you know, there are shows Mary Zimmerman does that no one else could direct. You know, that's like those, that's really organic from her process. And the two things are part and parcel of the same thing. I guess that's what I feel. I feel like if you're someone like Fornes or Zimmerman where you're like, this thing is coming out of my, they're the same. You know, they're the same thing that she's doing. If that's not true, if you're really writing a play and then you're feeling like, oh, I'd love some distance, but I don't know, maybe I should also direct it. I feel like if you have to ask, playwright, maybe find a director to work with you.
Hey, I'm Reed Diamond, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Companies podcast.
Where can you RSE the RSE? Our reduced mini tour of the UK continues this week, where we're performing the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised until June 28, 2014, doing 20 shows in 30 days. Then in the last week of July 2014, we'll return to the San Jose Repertory Theater in Northern California to perform the complete history of comedy, abridged, for a week. Then we return to Edinburgh for the month of August to perform the European premiere of the complete history of comedy, abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. Now, there was another glitch in the audio matrix as I asked Jessica whether she considers herself a visual director or an actor's director, as if there's a distinction between the two. And she answered by talking about the play we worked on together, In the Garden, the story of the romance between Charles and Emma Darwin, which is both Shavian and realistic and highly theatrical.
It's people in a room. It's all people in a room, realistically speaking, but it's very, very visual because the world they're making through their marriage has to be a presence. And I think my visual palette tends to be restrained. I love, well, I mean, not compared to some things. How about this? Like, I love a visual palette, but right. I like light gray, medium gray, dark gray, and like a maroon, mm-hmm. you know? So I will be very restrained on the palette, but then really use the paint a lot, if that makes sense, you know?
No, it does make sense. And you kind of already answered what I was going to ask is, what kind of show do you like? But it seems like you like all sorts. You know?
I like all sorts. Yeah. There's no rule. I don't necessarily like one type of thing and another type of thing. I don't like feeling manipulated. I don't like feeling emotionally manipulated. I don't like story, plot, or effect that it feels like it's just a stimulation for me or for anyone else. That's what I react badly to. But otherwise, I mean, I like a wide range of material as an audience member and as a director. I couldn't say, like, I do, you know, Shakespeare or only new plays or whatever. I actually do a wide variety of things. But what I love is for things to look and feel like things feel inside. I love the work of Sarah Rule, and I've worked with her many times on premieres of her plays, and we have a long relationship. And I really feel like, you know, you can talk about magical realism. Apples don't really fall from the sky. It feels like is those apples falling from the sky, and that's what the theater can do. So I want the theater to magically do what things realistically feel like right. on the inside. And I think that's what I'm always going for.
And to remind people, they're not watching television or a movie. You know, we're something quite specifically different.
Yes, it's quite specifically different because it's three-dimensional. Because you don't ask if apples fall from the sky in a movie, how did they do that?
Right.
You in the theater, and sometimes it's, you know, the least magical thing is the most magical. I mean, when you see all the bells and whistles and you see all the strings being pulled, but you understand what it means because it's metaphorical, because it's dreamlike, because as humans we understand those symbols, we understand that mythic quality.
I also asked Jessica, how does one become a director? Now, of course, you won't hear me asking that question because, once again, there was another audio glitch. It's just been a comedy of audio errors getting this week's podcast up and running. How one becomes an actor is a question that we get all the time. And it turns out that Jessica's answer is very similar to the one we give. As part of her answer, Jessica explained that she has her PhD in performance studies and that she always says that the only way to learn to be a director is to direct something, to put it up, get it out there. Or in her words,
you've got to figure out how to actually do the activity and get it in the world.
That's it for this week's audio compromised and significantly shorter Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your job description via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes.
You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, decomposer Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Patricia De Dominicis. I hope I pronounced that correctly. No reason. It is just random. Special thanks to Reed Diamond, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 391/1173 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I didn't realize you had your PhD. I should have been calling you doctor all this time.
What a missed opportunity. You totally could have been.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.